Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Two of the most confrontive words in a Two of the most confrontive words in a conversation are prove it. Nobody really likes to be challenged about how true what they're saying is. But when it comes to writing copy in the real world, you have to expect prospects won't believe you. In fact, the more they like the claim you make, the more skeptical they will be. Why? Because of human nature. Also, because they've been disappointed before, so they're protecting themselves. You can almost imagine them in a cover band screaming at you, "We won't be fooled again." Now, there is a proven strategy to overcome this prospect doubt and replace it with prospect confidence. And that strategy, of course, is simply to include proof of what you say in your copy. But many copywriters don't use proof well, or they don't use enough of it, or worse, they don't use proof at all. Big mistake. Today, we're going to do a deep dive so we can take some big steps on the road to recovery. But first, I'm hoping I've said this enough so I don't have to prove it to you today, and that's copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. Most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So before we start our deep dive, let's see if we can define what proof is. It takes a number of different forms, and we'll cover a lot of them today on the show. But what's most important is not what proof is, but what it does. Proof is something that verifies something else you said, something to remove doubt and boost confidence. What it does is what's most important. Whether it's a testimonial, a case study, a statistic, an expert opinion, or simply a statement of fact that makes sense to the reader, proof is something that builds conviction in your prospect as it wipes away doubt. So they are much more likely to buy. Now, we'll get into it in a second, starting with the psychology of proof.
Especially today, market sophistication, access to negative reviews, and just the overwhelming abundance of, I hate to use the term, fake news on the internet, and also the rise of AI to where we really can't trust our eyes anymore. Now more than ever, proof is just something you can't ignore in your copy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I saw a conference by two of my friends last night, a Zoom call, very experienced marketers. They were talking about using AI, not to write copy, but to write different forms of content. And the input, they were expecting the AI to realize that it needs to come up with proof and to find it itself. That was what their prompts essentially directed it to do implicitly. And boy, that's a mistake. Anyway, let's start square one, the psychology of proof. Let's talk about why some types of proof work better than others for different customer groups, because this will help put things in perspective. So Trustpilot, the people who set up the review sites for businesses, according to some research they did, younger buyers put more value on social proof than older buyers. The data shows that 72% of Gen Z makes buying decisions based on what others say. By comparison, only 63% of baby boomers rely on social proof the same way. This lines up what we often see in direct response marketing. Different groups need different types of proof. Think about awareness levels. A customer who doesn't even know about the problem your product solves first needs proof that the problem exists. You could start with statistics that highlight the scope of the problem. Once they understand the issue, you'd shift to proof that there are solutions to this problem. And finally, proof that your solution is preferable to all the other ones out there. For example, let's say you're selling a new kind of online payment system. You might begin by sharing data about online fraud rates. Then you could move to specifics about the security features on your system. And finally, you'd show user results, always confirming, of course, that they're real and verified. The balance between emotional and logical proof can also make a big difference. Some markets respond better to hard data, while others connect more with personal stories. And some markets respond well to a combination of hard data and personal stories. You'll see this in alternative health sales letters and VSLs for supplements all the time. Now, when you're thinking about adding proof to your copy, take a look at the kind of proof your competitors are using. And this is important, not only to get ideas about what they're doing now and copy it, but also to identify gaps they're leaving open. For example, if all they're doing is sharing customer stories, you might come across as more credible by also including expert endorsements or research-backed data. One important thing to consider, your proof should align with where your customers are in their decision-making journey. Here's a three-part approach that works well. First, start with basic proof that's easy for anyone to accept. From there, your second layer, add specifics that will be meaningful to your particular market. And finally, use proof to answer objections. Include statements, stats, and stories that address your customers' biggest doubts. Also, think about timing. When do you introduce your proof? Early on in your copy, use proof to establish your credibility. Later, share some proof that highlights unique benefits of your product. And towards the close, focus on proof that reduces risk and shows how buying from you is a wise decision. Don't think of proof as a necessary evil or a box to check on a list. Instead, look at your market and the things that matter most to them. Then build your proof around those insights. When you line up proof with customer needs, your copy becomes far more persuasive.
When you were talking about this, what went through my mind is when we're watching a movie or reading a book, and sometimes we have to suspend our disbelief. But if something is too unbelievable, it just takes us out. It takes us out of the movie, takes us out of the book. Same thing can happen in your copy. If something is too unbelievable, it makes people check out. And so having proof at the beginning, in the middle, towards the end, keeping them from stopping and saying, oh, come on, that can't be true, is so important to keep them reading.
Yeah, it's not like an ingredient that you put into, you know, a batter and, okay, I've done the proof. It's like you really need to look at where is it necessary to keep people from falling off the page and your copy from going off the rails. All right, so let's talk about an idea called building your proof portfolio. A lot of copywriters think when a customer says something like, this product is great, that counts as proof. But it's pretty weak and not all that effective most of the time. Why? Because it's not specific enough. It's just someone blurting out enthusiasm without explaining why or even what they're enthusiastic about. So take time to get more detailed, convincing testimonials. But don't worry, they don't need to have a lot of detail. If a testimonial mentions two or three little key points, that can make a world of difference. And it matters a lot. Remember, your prospects are watching. The 2023 Trustpilot Consumer Survey pointed out 72% of Gen Z buyers check reviews before making a purchase. Now, a lot of copywriters get stuck when it comes to gathering real proof. They sit around hoping for glowing comments to magically appear in their inbox. But it usually doesn't happen that way, at least not on a regular basis. You need to be more proactive than that. For example, set up a system to capture proof, especially from your own customers. A survey by Bright Local, a UK marketing software company, found that positive reviews make 91% of consumers more likely to use a business. And when you collect case studies, take a little extra time to get the whole story, not just what happened that the customer was happy about. Because in a case study, the starting point is just as important as the final result. Find out, what did the situation look like before? What specific problem needed solving? How did your product or service help the customer get the result they were looking for? Now, a full story like that doesn't need to be long, but it works so much better when it's complete in the way I just described. Besides individual customers, there are organizations that can help you build trust. Industry certifications are very persuasive to a lot of prospects. And when you get covered in a podcast, like the famous Copywriters podcast, or in a publication, or even on TV, that can seriously boost credibility with prospects. If you have a partnership agreement you can highlight, that's another form of proof. It shows that other businesses trust you. Expert opinions can back up your points with authority. Now, here's an important point about proof that a lot of marketers overlook. Your proof also needs to stay up to date. Set up regular check-ins with your clients. Ask them for updates on their results. Keep a running list of new improvements. As you collect your proof, how do you categorize it? Based on what it shows. For example, some proof might show how fast your product works. Other proof could highlight how much money it saves. And durability is another thing to get data about, especially when it shows how your product outlasts the products of competitors. But don't throw proof around randomly in your copy. Be strategic about it. Each piece of proof needs to match the concerns that matter most to your audience. And notice what kind of proof works best for different price points. For expensive products, technical proof often carries more weight. For cheaper products, how the user gets quick wins could make a bigger impact. Mix and match your proof to fit what you're selling. Once you collect it, store all your proof in an easy-to-access system. Keep your raw testimonials on file. Save edited versions when needed. Hold on to permission forms as well as supporting evidence. And these days especially, don't forget about photos and videos. Bottom line, the most effective proof usually combines multiple types. Besides customer results, for example, you can use expert opinions. Show the big picture as well as the small details. That's how you create the most convincing proof.
I'm going to say, for writing for Gen Z and millennials, one of the best things that I have found is user-generated content. And so if you can build a community, or if you can reach out to people through emails that have already made a purchase and just ask them, hey, I noticed that you post a lot about this on Instagram, or hey, inside of the community, hey, anybody who's gotten good results, let me know about them. Shoot a real quick 60-second video. And then using those. And a lot of times, especially for Gen Z and millennials, coming across that content before they hit the sales page, they're already bought into the proof. And then including some of that on your sales page, you mentioned mixing in video with your sales copy, mm-hmm. bringing in some of that user-generated content does amazing for proving it to people.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's something relatively new. So if you're training old school, I mean, Claude Hopkins never talked about user-generated content, but, you know, it's the same concept. You just got to adapt to the times. Stop using the hero's journey in your sales copy. My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today. Let's talk a little more about strategic proof placement. Where do you put it in your copy? We've talked about this a little already, but we're going to focus on this question more now. The company called CXL, which hosts a lot of marketing-related courses online, suggested in a report that you should use that there are two best places to use social proof, like testimonials and user-generated content in your copy: near the call to action and at any points in the copy where there might be friction. Of course, that's not the only place you want to put testimonials, but that's very good advice, because friction points in your call to action are places where prospects' doubt and uncertainty spike. And in a reassuring word, someone who's already walked the path that the prospect's thinking of walking, that can only help. So there's some logic to where you put proof, and timing matters. And instead of thinking as proof, as some weird element you have to shoehorn into your copy, simply look at it as a part of a conversation. If you're having a conversation and you're talking to someone and they make a big claim, what's your immediate reaction? Well, you might go, no, or really? Or you might not challenge them, but you're probably not going to believe them until they back it up. Same idea with copy. For instance, imagine saying this to a customer: our software cuts processing time in half, and just leaving it at that. Well, that's not very convincing. But if right after you said our software cuts processing time in half, you added, in independent tests conducted by Sauce Labs, processing speeds average 52% faster across 1,000 trials, that would be a lot more convincing. Now, there really is a software testing company called Sauce Labs right here in the city and county of San Francisco. I don't know them personally, but I figure if they're in San Francisco, they've got to be good. Anyway, if you were to talk about test results like that, it would be a really good idea if your company actually had paid Sauce Labs to do the test. What I did here, of course, is just an example to show you how you would do it. Now, let's talk about where a lot of copywriters and business owners get in trouble. They don't realize that every major claim needs its own proof, and it doesn't always need to be the same kind of proof. In fact, when it's always the same, it can get tedious for the reader. So you can mix it up. Use data for practical claims, testimonials for emotional appeals, and expert backing for technical points. The key thing to remember is to carefully place the right proof in the right place at the right time.
I just want to add one thing that we didn't mention so far and goes miles for providing proof: demonstrations. If you can show me the vacuum picking up the bowling ball, if you can show me in real time your portfolio gaining momentum, if you can show me person A with sunscreen X and person B with sunscreen Y, and I can compare them right next to each other, showing a demonstration, it's one of those major things that we often don't give enough credit to.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up, and I can't believe I failed to put in my own notes, but I agree with you 100%. In fact, I don't think there's anything that works better than a demonstration. Certainly a live demonstration, but if you can effectively put it in video or even in a series of pictures with good captions, yeah, I mean, what's better to convince somebody that something works than showing them it working, right? So, yeah, exactly. Great point. Okay, so let's talk about how to crank up the effectiveness of your proof a little bit. How do you present it so it convinces your prospects? And this is where a lot of copywriters fall down and miss big opportunities. So some people will collect all these testimonials, write the sales page, and at the bottom, they'll just dump all these testimonials at the bottom. A couple of things. If someone's decided to buy at that point, they're not going to read them, so it's not going to help. If someone hasn't decided to buy, a bunch of testimonials is probably not going to do it for them. If they're outside of context, they lose a lot of their impact. Well, let's talk about how to make this work better. When you're using testimonials, you can set them up. A lot of people just put testimonials like, oh, well, see, here's a testimonial. Now you have to believe me. But what you can do that works a lot better than that is set them up with specific details. So instead of just tossing in a quote, a picture, and a name, you could say, here's John's feedback after 90 days of using the product. Adding time frames, specific results, and a clear context can turn a basic quote into a compelling little micro story. Now, here's a simple test you can do to check if your proof needs more substance. Read it out loud and ask yourself, does this need more context to be instantly understood? For before and after frameworks, timing is everything. You could present it like this. When this client started, their numbers looking like this. After implementing these changes, they reached this higher number. See how much stronger that feels compared to saying, oh, they got better results. Or even, they increased their results by 35%. Now, to be clear, again, this is not about fabricating numbers or making up stories. AI, I'm talking to you. Now, this is about presenting real results, verified results, in a way that's more effective. Also, think about visual part of how you present proof. We talked about photos and videos, and Nathan pointed out demonstrations are so powerful. But there are other forms of visual enhancement too. Instead of just showing a testimonial or adding a headshot, try including a screenshot of the customer's LinkedIn profile with their written permission, of course. Or when sharing stats, include simple, easy to decode charts that make the data easier to digest. You could even break a long testimonial into smaller chunks. Use each part where it fits best in your copy so the proof flows naturally instead of feeling like it was slapped on in the end. Think of proof like building blocks. Each piece should be built upon the last piece. For example, you might want to start with an industry statistic, move to a specific customer result, and finish with validation by an expert. But each piece needs proper framing to work. And again, tailor your proof to what will resonate most easily with your prospects. For tech buyers, that often means data and technical specs. For service buyers, stories about customer experiences and results are a good choice. And leave out the proof that doesn't really convince. Leave out anything that feels vague or unsupported. Look at it this way. It's better to have 3 strong proof points than 10 weak ones. Above all, make sure they're presented in a way that's easy to understand and impossible to ignore. Your prospects want to believe you. They're actually looking for reasons to trust your claims. Give them that trust by presenting your proof clearly and professionally. Think of enhancing proof like turning up the brightness on a photo. You're not altering what's there. You're just making it easier to see. Quality always beats quantity, and do everything you can to keep your proof up to date. Old testimonials and outdated stats can hurt your credibility instead of helping it. So see if you can set up a system to regularly review and refresh your proof sections. Remember, the goal isn't just to prove your claims. It's to make that proof convincing.
I want to just point out and kind of emphasize how important this is. The old testimonials and outdated stats, especially in today's marketplace, yeah, that might have worked 6 months ago. That might have worked before AI. That might have worked before the algorithm change. But will it still work today is something that people are asking themselves. And so having a testimonial that seems like it was written in the world of 6 months ago might not prove it to them today. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So as we're recording this next to the last day of January, this week, the entire world changed. DeepSeek came out, Chinese AI, NVIDIA, who makes the chips for American AI, lost $600 billion in market valuation, capitalization, real money, stock price in one day. And OpenAI, who makes ChatGPT, came out with something called Operator, which runs other AIs, and you can just write a script and then, you know, go sit by your swimming pool or your imaginary swimming pool and drink Mai Tais or imaginary Mai Tais. I mean, those are huge changes. All of those things by themselves are like unbelievable. And that was in one day, or that was in like 3 days. I mean, so, you know I have friends say, well, I don't like to watch the news because it's depressing, or, you know, those people are an arm of this or that. Yeah, I agree. The political news is pretty sad and awful, but you still got to keep up with society's news and business news and technical news and anything related to marketing, which does include political news a little bit, because if you're not up to it, if your prospect's state of mind is different than you thought it was, boy, that can hurt.
Yeah, and all of those instances that you talked about, those are very top of mind for us copywriters, but the real world for every industry right now is changing just as rapidly, and communication is instantaneous nowadays. And so even if it's not AI and copywriting and marketing, whatever industry that you're in, it's just as important to stay on top of what's going on so that you know, we talk about it as copywriters, join the conversation they're already having in their mind. If you're not on top of what's going on in the world of your prospect, there's no way to do that. And it's more important now and faster evolving now than it ever has been.
Yes, it's more important than ever. And so that all circles back into proof. What new doubts are they going to have as a result of something they just learned? And that's why Nathan said at the beginning that this may be the most important podcast we've ever done, because, you know, without people believing your copy, you really need to go into another business. So learn how to do this and learn how to keep up, and you're welcome for the tough love.
All right, David, if you don't mind, let's do a real quick recap before we're out of here.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so first we talked about the psychology of proof. We focused on matching proof types to where your customers are in their buying journey. And the big takeaway is that emotional and logical proof needs will shift based on customer awareness. Like what works for cold traffic might often not work for warm leads. Next, we talked about building your proof portfolio. And this is about moving beyond basic testimonials to building a complete proof package. The key insight here, one of them, is use data-driven elements like specific numbers and research findings to support your bigger claims rather than relying only on customer quotes. Then, strategic proof placement, where you position different types of proof in your copy. The critical point is matching specific proof elements to the exact objections they handle, like putting pricing proof right before you reveal the offer. And finally, proof enhancement techniques shows how to make existing proof work harder. The standout lesson here is adding context and specific details to basic testimonials, turning simple quotes into compelling micro stories that prospects actually believe.
All right, David, powerful episode. More important now than ever. And I would recommend, this is one of those episodes I would recommend, go back and listen to again, because there's stuff that you missed. And the next time you listen to it, it's going to hit you. And no matter how many aha moments you had the first time around, you're going to have twice as many the next time around. And if you enjoyed this episode, we've got 400 plus other episodes just as relevant, maybe not as important, but I think maybe so, over at copywriterspodcast.com. You can go check them out there. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.